The pastor, it was Ike that preached that day. I said, this must be the pastor. The way he's preaching like this, it must be the pastor. I said, small time again. One prophet collected microphone and was discerning. He said, ah. So he had to ask the person by his side, this church, no gay pastor. That is how a true church should be. You don't go to church and all your mind is on a man. The day Pastor Moses doesn't come to church, then you don't go to church again. The day you hear say, Gio travel, you say, hey, what now they go to again? Gio don't travel. That Gio built that church around himself. And the church of Jesus Christ is not like that. It's not like that. Praise God. Hallelujah. And I made that statement that day, and I said, when that time will come, I say, somebody will direct you and say, go to Bride Assembly, Jesha. You have so problem. Then you are coming. You will reach the gate there. The security man at the gate, you will ask him, please, is this Bride Assembly? You say, yeah, this is Bride Assembly. Oh, there's no program today. Yeah, there's no program. You can come tomorrow, Tuesday in the morning. And then he will say, but brother, the Lord is telling me this is your problem. The Lord is telling me this is your problem. The Lord is telling me this is your name. The Lord is telling me this is where you are coming from. From the gate, from the gate. From the gate. Do you believe it will happen? Eh? Do you believe it will happen? It will happen, and it has begun now. Hallelujah. For God to confirm. Do you know last week Sunday I announced, I said somebody fell down under anointing and lost his two phones. Who remember that last Sunday? That was last Sunday. And I made an announcement. I said, please, somebody fell down under anointing and his phone is missing. Please, if you took the phone under anointing, please return it. Amen. And then somebody, the coordinator told the chief security officer. The chief security officer quickly came while the service, just before we closed, and called all the people around where the phone fell. Called all the people sitting down to his office and said, that phone fell down around your side. Who among you took the phone? And all of them said, no, I don't take. For the first time in his life, he said he stood and a voice told him, see the person, I'm with this. Amen. He said, when he heard the voice, back up, he turned to see who they talk. He didn't see anybody. So he said, he just repeated what he had. Now you carry the phone. And the man was arguing, not be me. He said, he told him, he was sitting down there, and he said, what's your name? The man called one name. That voice told him again, it's a lie. This is his name. Call his name. And he repeated, he said, it's a lie. This is your name. The man do like this. How did this man take no? Glory! Hallelujah. He said, he asked him again. Because he said, at that moment, fear was catching because this is the first time he was having that experience. And he said, he was thinking in his heart, make a no accuse somebody wrongly. Which country be this? He said the voice spoke again and told him, he's just out from prison. He's a thief. He's just out from prison. He said, he repeated, you are just out from prison. Is it not true? He said the voice spoke again. He said, he took the phone and hid it in an uncompleted building. He said, he told him, said, bring the phone up. You hit the phone. He was repeating what he was hearing. For the first time. Hallelujah. Later on, the young man excused him outside and said, not true. Now wait till they pray for me that. Now wait till I come be that. May God deliver me. Now prison yard. I just come from now. Now thief are the thief.
and then took him
to where men fellowship put those blocks, and he hid the phones there and brought out the phones and gave it to him. Praise the Lord. For the first time. So anytime your property means for phone, for church, go to CSO. He will arrest the person. He will tell you the name and where the person kept it. Hallelujah. That is our chief security officer. And remember, men, we went to the camp. That is where he received that anointing. Eh? Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. During the baptism of the Holy Ghost, when I stood on that altar and made that pronouncement, he was standing as a security by the altar, near the gate there, where he's always standing. I was looking, the anointing carried him. Wah, wah. I was saying in my heart, I said, "Chai, this anointing, not the respect age." And he began to prophesy. We rushed the microphone to him, and he prophesied there. When he finished, I asked him later. He said he didn't even know. I said, "What happened to you? What happened to you? You all had him." He said that he doesn't know that. He knew that he stood with his supervisor, the security supervisor with him there, the police officer that works with him. He said that when we put the table for the communion, he said he saw some men that dressed in suits. They sat round the communion table and they were eating. When they finished, they stood up. He was watching. He thought that maybe we don't change the style. The ministers, they chop before going. So they finished. They were going out. They were standing by the gate. He told his supervisor, "Give chance. People are coming. Give chance. Make them pass." The supervisor said, "Nobody, they pass." Hallelujah. He has become another man. Another man. So he said, it was when those men, he finally pushed him out, pushed his security, said, "Give them chance for them to pass." That is all that he remembered. Hallelujah. And when it was after they passed, maybe one of them just touched him, say, "Receive." So he said he doesn't know what happened again. He only noticed that he was feeling very weak when he sat down. He didn't know they lifted him up to sit down. And then he was telling them, say, "I don't know how I'm feeling. I don't know how I'm feeling." He was telling them they should take him to the room. Let him recover. He thought he's sick. He thought he's falling sick. Maybe hypertension, one catcher. He doesn't understand which kind of happen. Because he didn't know what happened. He didn't even know he prophesied. He didn't know. Praise the Lord. Then the supervisor told him what happened. "You fell under anointing and then you were prophesying." He said, "Me?" He said, "Not you. Even me, you have become another man." Somebody here, after today, there will be a visitation. What they know you before, you will suddenly change. That's what I believe. Blessed be the name of the Lord. That is the, what he was operating was the gift of the word of knowledge. He was hearing a voice. That's what I'm trying to explain. Which verse are we now? Hallelujah. Verse 9. To another, faith by the same spirit. Faith here is a supernatural boldness that comes upon you. When that boldness comes upon you, nothing looks impossible before you until that anointing leaves you. It's faith. To another, the gifts, if you notice, there is S there, plural. Gifts, not gift. Gifts of healing by the same spirit, because healing can come through many means. Some will feel fire. Some, you know, whatever, different means. Several other means. The important thing is, once you have that feeling, you pray for that person, they will receive healing. Verse 10, to another, the working of miracles. Once you stand up to minister, miracles will take place. To another, prophecy. This prophecy, the gift of prophecy is different from the office of a prophet. A prophet is one that can inquire. You can go to him and say, please, I want to know this. He has the ability to go in the spirit before the Lord and inquire. That is a prophet. But here, this prophecy is what you saw our CSO operated. And so many brothers and sisters here operate that. The anointing will just come upon you like that. And then you begin to speak. That's a gift of prophecy. And what's another one? To another, discerning of spirits. That gift is placed in the church to check the spirits by which people are operating. It is the ability to know which spirit is in operation. When somebody is prophesying, you can know whether it is by the Spirit of God, or it is a familiar spirit, or the person is speaking by his own human spirit. The ability to know which spirit is in operation, you will know. And what's the other one? To another, diverse kinds of tongues. Tongues, it is a gift. The ability to speak in an unknown tongue is a gift. And remember, he said diverse kinds, that is, you will not be speaking only one particular thing every time. You have gift of song. Here makasaka. Tomorrow again, here makasaka. Every time, here masakasa. Every time, here makasaka. That is not a gift. Diverse kinds of tongue. Today, it may be Spanish language you'll be speaking. Tomorrow, it may be Arabian language, Arab. Another day, it may be Calabar language you speak, and you'll be Hausa man. Diverse kinds of tongue. And I expect this church to be so grounded in this knowledge that a lot of things that I still see happening should stop. This hangover. Some people use tongues for exclamation. When they are happy. Come, brother. I'm giving you 50,000. Hey, Pastor, here masakama. Where is it? That's what the Pentecostals do, because they don't even know what they are doing. And you do it in a church like this. You are. That's why I say some people are in Bride Assembly Church, but they are not in the Bride of Jesus Christ. Kick that nonsense out. Every one of these gifts is a manifestation of the Spirit. God is using it to express himself, to express an attribute of himself, to let the people know that there is God somewhere. The healing gift is for the whole world to know that with man it is impossible, but with God, nothing is impossible. They say they have no cure for HIV. They have no cure for cancer. They have no cure for certain diseases. They have done all the tests. Doctors say there is no hope. Then, when you bring the person to the church, that gift, hallelujah, this sign shall follow them that believe. Praise the Lord. Why will he come down by that gift and heal? So that man can know that with God, nothing is impossible. Praise God. That's what it is all about. Why? Why will you come here every Tuesday here with blessed water for people who are sick to drink? Nobody touched, you know, the minister. No, we didn't take the water to somewhere and make some invocation incantation. Now you buy and by yourself come. And then say lift it up. And then after prayer you say drink it. And then when you finish drinking, you hear testimonies following. By that, God uses that gift to let the people know there is a God that heals. That's the purpose. That's the motive. So when you are speaking in tongue, it must be a supernatural action. And every gift that you operate, it cannot just operate anyhow. You have to be in the right atmosphere, in the right mood, in the right setting. Amen. And that is why all these gifts come out more in an atmosphere of worship like this. Then God comes down to speak to his people through prophecy. To give you vision, the word of knowledge, because somebody has prayed and he wants to answer back that person. Praise the Lord. That is what the gift is all about. So, to one, diverse kinds of tongues. If the tongue you are speaking, now only one, that is the one your pastor taught you in your church, drop it. That is your pastor's tongue, not the tongue of the Holy Ghost. Praise God. William Branham kept that saying, that statement I repeat here quite often. He said, people go to church, and instead of receiving the Holy Ghost, the Spirit of Christ, they receive the spirit of their pastor. Why? So if your pastor is palming his hair, all the brothers will be palming their hair. See? If the pastor dresses with baggy trousers, all the brothers there, they'll be dressing with baggy trousers. If the pastor normally ties his belt on the stomach, all of them will tie their belt in the stomach. If the pastor, anytime he's praying, he's shaking his head. Hey, mama. Hey, Sarah. Hey, mama. Everybody will be praying like that. And hey, they're imitating the pastor. You have received the spirit of your pastor. From Bethlehem's manger came forth a stranger. On earth I long to be like him. My faithful Savior, how rich his favor. On earth I long to be like him, to be like him, to be like Jesus.
Yes, sir.
To be like Jesus. On earth I long to be like him. All through life journey, from earth to glory, I only want to be like him.
The next songs are going like this.
Serene and holy, obedient, lowly, on earth I long,
yes sir,
to be like him. By faith forgiven, and heir of heaven, on earth I long to be like,
everybody now,
him. To be like him.
Jesus, not your pastor.
Be like Jesus.
Don't be like your pastor.
All
no. Be like him. Be like Jesus.
To be like him. Oh, all true life journey, from earth to glory, I only ask to be.
Strive to be like Jesus.
like your pastor. Don't talk like your pastor. Don't preach like your pastor. Don't act like your pastor. Because before you know what now, how I love Pastor Moses, I love Pastor Moses. You go and shave Gorimakwa. So that your hair will be like his own. Praise God. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. The last gift is what? Interpretation of tongues. There is the gift of tongue and there is the interpretation. You may be speaking in tongue and you may not know what you are saying. There will be another person that is understanding what you are saying. It is a manifestation of the Spirit. And all these nine gifts. Okay, two more gifts. Verse 28. Two more added there. Hallelujah. Verse 28. Help and government is added there. Help and government is added. There's the gift of help and there is the gift of government. Administration, the ability to administer, to organize. They are all gifts of the Holy Ghost. And all these 11 gifts, it can be used correctly and it can be used wrongly. You can operate it correctly and you can operate it wrongly. And that is why the Holy Ghost say we should teach the people how to operate the gift. And that is all we've been saying. You go get the tapes. Go and get the tapes. Praise the Lord. And let's continue. Romans chapter 12. Let's continue now from wherever we stopped last week. I'm reading from verse 3. Hear the admonishment to gifted people by Apostle Paul. From verse 3. And I'll read that up to verse 8. And verse 10, maybe. Or verse 8. Romans 12, verse 3. For I say, through the grace given unto me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think. Very important. But to think soberly, according as God has dealt to every man the measure of faith. Somebody shout the measure of faith. Say it again, the measure of faith. Wait, now they hear me. Say it, the measure of faith. Amen. Okay. I know why teachers, they teach with cane. Now the cane, they make people understand him for in class. I say, same measure of faith. Now they hear me. It's important, church, measure of faith. Because the Holy Ghost, it is a measure of the Spirit of God in a man. Amen. Hallelujah. The only person, the only human being that received the fullness of God is who? The Lord Jesus himself. Because the Bible says, for the fullness of God dwelleth in him bodily. In Colossians chapter 2. The fullness of the Godhead dwelt in him. But the rest of us, we receive him in a measure. And that is why, if ever you have received the Holy Ghost at all, hallelujah, there will be something, a desire, insatiable desire for more of him. The evidence that you have received the Holy Ghost is that you'll be desiring more and more and more and more and more of him. Anytime you see a man say, well, those who want the Holy Ghost come out, and he said, no, me, I'm sure I don't collect my own. It's evident he has not received. That's why a preacher preached in Brother Abraham's church. And then after he finished, he said, if you want the Holy Ghost, come out. William Branham was the first that jumped down from the pulpit, where they were, and knelt down. And the preacher was confused. And they called people who made them come get the Holy Ghost. If they come. And he told them, he said, brother, if you have received the Holy Ghost, you can never have enough of him. He wants more. He said he came because he wants more of God. Praise the Lord. In Mark chapter 4 verse 8, we see the three categories of fruits where he said there are some that bring forth how many fold? 30 fold. Another one, how many? 60 fold. And another, how many? 100 fold. 30 fold. That is the grace of God in 30 fold. The grace of God in 60 fold. That is letting us know we are not all in the same level. We are not all in the same level. And that is why then you will understand what he's saying there. In that verse 3, he says, for I said, through the grace given unto me, to every man is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God has dealt to every man the measure of faith. Number 4, verse 4. For as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office, that is, we have hand, we have leg, we have the nose, the eyes, we have like that. He said they don't all have the same function, the same office. So, verse 5, we, being many, are one body in Christ, and every one members one of another. Having then gifts, differing according to the grace that is given to us, whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Coordinators, help me now. My sister has not been reading. I don't see you look at your Bible since. What happened? What happened?
I'm sick.
You are sick. Sorry. You'll be healed today in Jesus' name. And they see all of you now. Some people know they read Bible. No, they look at me. So that you will know what I'm saying is true. It's in the Bible. Don't go to church and accept everything anybody is saying at the pulpit. There are some things some people say at the pulpit. They say, the Bible says Jesus is coming in a horse. Amen. Where are they talking? Be sure I read on. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Whether prophecy, verse 6, let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith. And this scripture is important, particularly to those who prophesy. Don't prophesy like another person. If you are coming to give a revelation, don't give it like other people are giving it. You have a gift of prophecy. The anointing will strike you. Bah! Because you saw the sister that prophesies regularly, or the brother that prophesies regularly in brother assembly, before he prophesies, normally he will fall down, scatter everybody, kick everybody, fight everybody. While he's saying, thus said the Lord. So you too. I want to prophesy now. And before you know what, hey! Chaka, paka, guru, paka. And the reason why they continue to do that is because after they break that chair, we know they make them pay. Next time, if you break our chair under anointing, when you recover, finish, we'll give you the bill. Don't do that. They may be falling down before prophesying. Your own may be calm enough. You are hearing the voice saying, tell them. You will tell them, thus said the Lord. You go wait to hear the next one. Thus said the Lord, my people. How can I make a tell them? Don't imitate other people. Be yourself. And if you are coming to give a revelation, you sat down there, the word of knowledge you want to give out, don't try to give death when you were not given death. Don't begin to discern. Don't say, look at the person finish. You must give the day. You must give his village. You must call his name. You must call this You must that.
Because
there are some prophets, when they come out, they begin to discern. They will call your name. They will do this. They will do that. Therefore, you feel if you too must give message, you must also go in the spirit. And then, when you do that, you are not staying in your own calling. You are not operating by the measure of the faith given to you. Stay within the measure of faith. The grace that has been given to you. Stay there. Don't go and say the one where you're not here. Because you want people to think you are occupying an office that you are not. And when you come, you will be attracting people to yourself. And when they come to you, they will soon discover you are fake. Because if you begin to say you are now at so-so-so level, then the people will come for that level. With that high expectation, then when they come, they will find you to be a liar. Stay where you are. The important thing is this. Hallelujah. If God gives me a revelation, maybe you are very tired like this. Like you are very tired like this. You are very tired. You don't sleep last night?
I slept.
Are you in the spirit? Yes, seeing vision?
I'm not seeing any vision. Okay. I'm meditating.
Oh, you are meditating. Please meditate with your eyes open. Thank you, sir. Now, if I come now and I see my brother, God tells me there's a favor coming to you this week. Now, if I say your name is so, he say yes. You are from so, yes. You are from so, yes. After all that, what is the message? The message is, this favor is coming to you this week. That is the message. You got his name correct. You got his village name correct. You got the problem that he's facing correct. We are waiting for another one that will be correct. This week, you will get a favor. That is the one we are waiting for. Therefore, that is the most important of everything you have spoken to him. It is not a message that his name is so-so person. He knows that is his name. He is from so-so village. That is his village. It's not a message. It's God telling you so that you will have faith for what he's about to tell you. Praise the Lord. Therefore, if I come to you without calling your name and I tap you, brother, I don't know you, but there is a message. There is a favor coming to you this week. That is the measure of my own faith. I have told you the message. Another person's measure of faith may take him to your village, may take him to where you work, to where you live here. My own not reach that level, but the message is the same at the end. So, why do I want to operate like Prophet Sunday? Give the message now. And that is the mistake most gifted people do. And so before you know what, carnality steps in. RNG prophecy steps in. All manner of carnalities will step in. Why? Somebody wants to be known for what he is not. Somebody is about to impersonate an office. Don't do that. Don't do that. Praise God. Praise the Lord. I pray within the measure of faith. Let me finish that scripture. Which verse am I? Verse 7. Our ministry, let us wait on our ministering. Or he that teacheth, wait on your teaching. Or he that exhorted, on exhortation. You know what he mean by exhortation? He that exhort. There are people that have the ministry of exhortation. That is, exhortation is the act of encouraging you to go on in your Christian journey. When you are well down and out, when he comes, he gives you hope. He gives you, revives you again. That despite the difficulties you are going in, push on, go on. Now, such a person is not a teacher. He's not a teacher. So he can just come and pick one verse and speak for about 1 hour on it. But by the time he finishes, you are revived again. You are charged again. Now, that is exhortation. Now, it is only a teacher now. Now, a teacher may not have the ability for exhortation. A teacher, he will come here with AD 70. He will come here AD 325. He will come here with Solomon's temple. He will come here with Antichrist. Spirit of truth, spirit of error. And he will break it down from Genesis to Revelation. He is a teacher. Praise God. And when a teacher is teaching, don't expect people to fall under anointing. I hope you understand. No. In fact, when a teaching is going on, God makes sure he withdraws anything that will distract you, including the anointing, so that you will listen very well. Because a teacher is coming to lay scripture upon scripture, precept upon precept, line upon line, here a little, there a little, like Isaiah prophesied. Praise the Lord. So you need to listen when he is teaching. So it will be funny for a teacher when instead of him to stay and teach, he wants people to fall under anointing. They will never fall. Because that does not belong to you. Praise God. Praise the Lord. And you, that you are not a teacher. Stay on your own. Don't begin to go and say you want to teach, because when you are going to teach, you are going to leave so many questions unanswered. So you will end up creating confusion. That is why, stay on your own calling. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Verse 8. Or he that exhorted on exhortation, he that giveth, those of you who believe that you have a ministry of giving, help ministry, let him do it with simplicity. And he that ruleth, let that person rule with diligence. He that showeth mercy, show mercy with cheerfulness. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. That is one. Secondly, as you operate your gift, you are expected to operate your gift in humility. God is known in humility. That's why God, Brother Brown preached that message that he titled God Hiding Himself. And hiding and revealing himself in simplicity. Number one evidence you will see a true Christian or a true servant of God. Number one evidence is you will see him humble. God hates pride. The source and author of pride is Satan. It's Satan. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. That's why Proverbs chapter 16, verse 19. It said, better it is to be of an humble spirit with the lowly than to divide the spoil with the proud. And in Proverbs chapter 29, verse 23, it says, a man's pride shall bring him low. Will bring him low, but honor shall uphold the humble spirit. And I love what the Lord Jesus Christ said in Matthew chapter 18. Can we open it? Matthew chapter 18. Hallelujah. From verse 1. I love what the Lord said there. He said, Matthew 18 verse 1. At the same time came the disciples unto Jesus, saying, who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? And Jesus called a little child unto him, and set him in the midst of them, and said, verily I say unto you, except, listen now, listen very carefully, verse 3. Verily I say unto you, except you be converted and become as little children, ye shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven. Whosoever therefore shall humble himself as this little child, the same is greatest in the kingdom of heaven. And whoso shall receive one such little child in my name, receiveth me. Now, let me explain something here that so many of us make mistake. I have seen preachers that have stood on this scripture and then brought little children and said, that is the reason why, that's the reason why the Pope of Rome is always, anywhere he reach, you carry one small child, then go bring flower, give him, he's kissing them, he's, you know, little children, so that the evidence that that is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. It's wrong, though. Church, he said, if you will come to Christ, he brought a little child. Every one of us that will be great, we must humble ourselves and live our lives like the little child. Like the little child. Then he said, if anybody, let's read that verse. Let's read that verse. He said, verse 4. Hallelujah. No, verse 5. He said, and whoso shall receive one such little child in my name, receiveth me. Verse 6. But whoso shall offend one of these little ones which believe in me, it were better for him that a millstone were hanged about his neck, and that he were drowned in the depth of the sea. What is he saying? In a nutshell, when a Christian, a child of God, decides to live his Christian life in such humility, bringing himself low, free of mind, believing all things, no malice, ever forgiven, ever cheerful, free with anybody, no suspicion, and you take advantage of such a person, that is what the Bible is saying. That's what he's saying. And you take advantage of such a person. He said, the judgment that is coming upon you by God, he said, it will be better that they tie a millstone, grinding stone, on your neck and throw in the sea so that you sink and die, than what is awaiting you. Because somebody comes to you as a Christian and you take advantage of that person. Even the laws of the land protect children especially. You take advantage of any child, the law will be hard on you. So it is. When a Christian man or woman comes in the simplicity of Christian conversion, in all humility, and you take advantage, because people will come, believe that you are a Christian. You say, please borrow me money. I'll bring it to you next tomorrow. Meanwhile, he doesn't have anywhere to pay you. Or he collects it and disappears. You don't even know his address because in a church you know they meet. You believe that he's a Christian. And even here, then they hear. They run. Or you, a servant of God, a sister, coming feeling free around you, before you know why, you take advantage of her and defile her. That is what that scripture is saying. And but he also added, hallelujah, verse 5. He said, and whoso shall receive one such little child in my name, receiveth me. When you also relate to such a person like that, you are relating to Christ. So there's a reward attached to it. So every one of us we are supposed to be so humble. So humble. Blessed be the name of the Lord. It's a virtue. It's a Christian virtue. Don't think yourself so high. And in this ministry, it is very common. Very, very common. Once you are operating a gift, once that grace comes upon you, in this ministry, I didn't say outside, here. Now, do I want to say at the talk? Here. Before you know what? Somebody who was, maybe he was a coordinator before, going about doing coordinator work, doing ushering work, as soon as he start to see vision, they give a microphone. He has left coordinating department. He has changed his seat. The next thing is printing complimentary card. He's attaching the prefix prophet. Prophet Thomas Nwoke. Before you know what? Hallelujah. The head of coordinating department say, brother, oh yeah, now your post of duty. He say, I am now a minister. Now, who is a minister? Coordinators are ministers. Security, they are ministers. Sanitation department, they are ministers. The musicians, they are ministers. So who is a minister? You don't know who is a minister. God wants, in setting the church in order, God wants a prophet in the coordinating department. So he picked one of them and give him that gift. So that as he's going around, if anybody thief anything, you go see him. If anybody is throwing anything in the congregation, in the spirit, you go see him. He go change his seat. Brother, come. Go sit down at the end there. They throw him from there. But as soon as that gift is given, you change seat. That is pride. That's pride. Ha! The one that is commonest now among the sisters. As soon as they do that, the way they work out change. When they are passing, they expect every other elderly woman to greet them. They will never greet anybody again. It's pride. Praise the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Luke chapter 14. A gift that you will receive and make you to be proud did not come from God. Every gifted brother or sister, you are a standard bearer. We are to learn Christianity from you. We are to learn Christian virtues from you. We are to learn the Bible from you. Whatever we preach in this church, what the people are supposed to see, the evidence or what we mean by what we preach, they will see it in the life that the ministers are living. The life that the ministers are living are a reflection of what the church stands for. Hallelujah. Therefore, pride is not part of this ministry anointing. It's not part of it. It's not part of it. Praise the Lord. It's not part of it. Luke chapter 14, verse 7. And he put forth a parable to those which were bidding, when he marked how they chose out the chief rooms, saying unto them, when thou art bidden to any of any man to a wedding, sit not down in the highest room, lest a more honorable man than thou be bidden of him. And he that bade thee, and him, come and say to thee, give this man place, and thou begin with shame to take the lowest room. But when thou art bidden, go and sit down in the lowest room, that when he that bade thee cometh, he may say unto thee, friend, go up higher. Then shalt thou have worship in the presence of them that sit at meat with thee. For whosoever exalted himself shall be abased, and he that humbled himself shall be exalted. That's enough teaching for anybody to learn humility. Hallelujah. Because even in this ministry, there are some people that promoted themselves to minister seat. But there are some that it was the pastor that took them to the minister seat. Do you understand what I mean? Hallelujah. Let God project you. Don't project yourself. That's what that scripture is saying. And anywhere you go, there was a wedding in Port Harcourt. And a reverend, a pastor from another Pentecostal church, came to attend the wedding. And you know, generally in the end time message, generally, you know, most end time messages, our tradition is to call one another brother and sister. Brother and sister. Actually, it's in this church that we begin to hear people affixing all those prefixes to their names. You know, but in most end time message churches, it's brother. They call their pastors Brother Moses, brother this, brother that. You see? And William Branham said, if you love me, call me Brother Branham. Say, I am your brother. It's okay. That does not make them wrong. But it's just his own way of demonstrating humility. You never hear us say, and the prophet William Branham. We didn't say Prophet Branham. You always hear us say, I'm Brother Branham. And so, that was in the mouth of the entire message preacher that was conducting the wedding. Then he was now inviting the pastor. He said, oh, we have our sister's pastor is here. I said, brother, so, please come to the altar. The man refused to stand up. He called his name again. I think he's sitting there. See him now. The ushers went, sir, you are the one they are calling. He said, no. He said, honor must be given to who honor is due. I am reverend, so person. How can you call me ordinary brother? How? And the whole church, they were laughing. Then the pastor said, oh, I am very sorry. Please, we call on Reverend. So are you doctor also? Reverend doctor, any other title? That is pride. A Christian, if you call any minister, unless you call his appointment, his degrees, the honor that he acquired to himself, he apportioned to himself, unless you mention it, he will not answer you. A man of God is sitting down, then a church member, he sees him outside. He says, hey, see my pastor, and he wants to greet him. He said, come on. You're coming to shake me, a man of God? And then he's looking at the security. Where are you that you are allowing this one come close to me like this? That is pride. You can't shake hands with your church member. You're a man of God. It is pride. Church, God can never move with that person. We say in Ephesians chapter 2 where the Bible says, Christ, though he was fashioned like God, yet he humbled himself. Humbled and obeyed even to the death on the cross. He humbled himself. So that Jesus was God, he had the anointing without measure. He was Emmanuel, God with us. And yet, when he's sitting down, there are some disciples that will lie down and put their head for his chest. Put down his head on his chest. And yet, he didn't say, homie. He will sit down with his disciples and go eat for plates together. They're going to eat together. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He was the one that was washing his disciples' feet. Humility. And he's supposed to be our example. Hallelujah. James chapter 4, verse 6. He said, God resisted the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble. Hallelujah. Let's read this 1 Peter chapter 5. Let's read this 1 Peter chapter 5. 1 Peter chapter 5, for humility. And if this is what we hammer on today, and take a break, it's good. And you know, it's necessary we talk now, because 1 month from now, we shall be entering our June camp period, making your calling an election. Sure. The period for the baptism of the Holy Ghost. So this is the right time for all this teaching. It will make it easier for us then. When we minister that grace, it will come. 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 5 and 6. It says, likewise, you younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Yea, all of you be subject one to another, and be clothed with humility. For God resisted the proud and giveth grace to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. I repeat verse 6. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. It is thus said the Lord. Hallelujah. Younger ones, he says, submit yourselves to the elder. Don't let your gift make you to disrespect people who are older than you in age. There is the age of ministry, and there is also the age, the natural age. You must respect these two groups. Always know that somebody else started in that office before you. When God places anybody above you, accept him as your leader. Even if you are more anointed than him, he is placed higher than you. The Bible says, humble yourself under the mighty hands of God. That hand is there to lift you up. But if you have bypassed that hand and you go up, that hand will push you down. Praise the Lord. Don't allow God to use his hand to push you down. And in Proverbs chapter 15, verse 33, it says, the fear of the Lord is the instruction of wisdom, and before honor is humility. Before you can be honored, you must be humble. And in Proverbs chapter 8 and verse 13, it says, the fear of the Lord is to hate evil, pride, and arrogancy, and the evil way, and the froward mouth do I hate. That is, thus said the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. In operating your gift, in Romans chapter 12, verse 10, it speaks about preferring one another. Romans 10, 12, verse 10. What do they mean by to prefer one another? Prefer one another. He made it clearer to the Philippians in Philippians chapter 2, verse 3, where he speaks about esteeming others better than yourselves. When he speaks about that is, any time you see somebody Hallelujah. Operating a gift with you, another fellow minister. Don't you ever in your heart, directly or indirectly, ever think of yourself better than someone? He said, always think that somebody else is better than you. Esteem one another better than yourself. That's what he was telling Philippians. And why will you not do that, church? Let's be very sincere now with ourselves. There is no man that is complete in everything. Every human being, there is something that you have that I don't have. And yet I need it. There is something I need that you have, but I don't have. And there is something you too, you need and you don't have that I have. Therefore, I need you. You need me. How can I say I am better than you? Which area are you better than me? Me too, I'm better than you. So we are. Praise God. Now, in the ministry, for instance, Pastor Moses can come now and tear down Bible from Genesis to Revelation and preach because he goes to school, he can read. And he has the ability to explain it. Then, I will now come and say, I am better than every other person. But this Pastor Moses here, he can read. He can understand everything. But he cannot, he doesn't have the prophetic gift. If the enemy is waiting for him in his house now, he cannot see it. But we have Dio. Dio cannot read like this. Have you ever seen any note Dio has written to you before? Sometimes it's whether in Arabic writing, I mean Greek, whatever, Hebrew, something. Eh? Ongozokoro! She cannot speak big grammar like you, where go to school. But the gift they have, Pastor Moses doesn't have it. So if they say they are better, I say I am better than them. So then too they can say they are better than me, Abby. Therefore, he said, esteem one another better. I am, because Dio has what I don't have, I will look at him with reverence. I will consider him as somebody that is greater than me. Because there's something he has I don't have. And until you catch this revelation, you will never grow in the grace of God. Praise God. Praise the Lord. Esteem one another better. Preferring one another. Apostle Paul was very, very revelated. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Church, gift. This gift is infectious. Gift is infectious. You see, when you have a gift and people are always around you, before you know what, people around you will soon catch those gifts. People around you will begin to operate that gift. Hallelujah. Yes. A brother was, you know, in my house yesterday, and I was explaining the setting generally in the Church of Jesus Christ. One particular problem that is hindering the progress of the Church of Jesus Christ generally, including Bride Assembly. I said something. I said, there is a problem, a fundamental problem. The problem is whenever anybody occupies an office, he does not want any other person to come up. So if he's the leader of a group, if he's a pastor of a church, and then he begins to see any gift in any brother, any sister, so the brethren are testifying that through that person they receive this testimony, the next thing is to silence it or kill it. And that is a big problem hindering the progress of the Christian faith. And so, you discover that whosoever you make in charge of a group, nobody will rise above that person in that group. As you are coming, they will silence you. As you are coming up, they cut you off. And it's wrong. In proper Christian setting, and I say, in this church, where do you pick that from? I am, by God's grace, the pastor of this church. And I was not posted to pastor you. I am a founding pastor of this ministry. Four of us started this ministry. And it was not around the gift. None of us had any gift. But as the people began to come, we spot a gift there, we encourage it. We spot a gift there, we encourage it. Initially, people were fighting it. That spirit is taking serious root in the Church of Jesus Christ. I refused to listen to all the abuses they were abusing me. All the threats. I will go to them. Don't let anybody discourage you. Flow. I didn't go to school. It doesn't matter. God is not an Englishman. God is not an educated man. Whatever. He see you. He not say you not go to school. He see me, I go to school. Why you not give me that gift? Now you can't give. Am I wiser than God? That was the battle. Why are others coming up? And some people are killing them now. How did you come up? What you enjoyed and they brought you up. Another person is coming and you are killing him. And the unfortunate thing is that the church has grown bigger now. Even if we are small, I will have seen you. But I cannot know you. Only in the groups you belong. In the house fellowship, in the prayer groups where you function. But why are we not? Why are the leaders no more bringing somebody? Pastor, see somebody here that I believe the church can benefit from his group, from his gift. Why are the leaders not bringing? Instead, immediately they spot you, they will make sure the church doesn't know you. They will bring you one side, keep you, the two of you will be walking, and corrupt that gift. Is traveling up and down with that person for Aladeleju, family deliverance, and whatever it is. That is the battle in a living church like this. Carnal people will come in there like that. Church, you are to encourage somebody else. Anybody you see the grace of God in his life, anything you can do to bring up that person, do it. Do it. Bring the person. Take the person for prayers. That is how we produce some of them here. Somebody saw them. My son Joseph came to me one day. He said, Daddy, there's one short Calabar boy. We just come. Then that one we will pray for, do deliverance. Say, he has done counseling with me. He dey fly you. I said, bring him, let me see him. He brought him. I told him, I said, any day you are sitting in the church and you receive any message, you let me know, you hear? He said, yes, sir. If you receive any message, don't be afraid. Don't be ashamed. Just, you hear? That is what we produce, Prophet Samuel. Praise the Lord. Samuel now spotted Sunday. In his own group, prayer group. And he was always encouraging him. One day he prophesied to him. He said, you see this microphone I am carrying? Prepare. You too will soon carry it. That is what produced Prophet Sunday. The same thing with so many of them. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Encourage one another. Anything you can do for the betterment of that person's Christian life, do it. That's what the Bible is saying. And the thing there is, that is the secret of the grace of God in my life. When you do that, it's a Christian principle. When you do that, as you lift up others, God will be lifting you up. People don't know that. People are afraid. If this one come up now, they're not going to come to me again. He has his gift. I have my gift. And you can never do that. You can't be lifting up other people and then God will cover up your own. No! He will make your own sharper and better, clearer and more powerful. Why? Because through you, his name is being glorified as you are raising ministers. Encourage one another. No jealousy. Pray for one another. Don't look for the downfall of others. Don't be jealous. Blessed be the name of the Lord.